The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Monday, we are back from vacation. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing really good, and I just can't believe I missed Jim Carrey, the actor, talking economics.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed that. I wasn't here for that.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Just so much happened last week, and we'll get all of that. Coming up on the show, the story that no one talked about last week, which is just huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, huge story and didn't even make a ripple in the news cycle at all.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because when I look at my, my entire life, it's something that I never thought or nobody thought we would ever see. And it happened. And unless you search for it, you couldn't find this as a news story. And it came out last Wednesday. We'll get to that. Coming up here, the latest on Florence flooding, just still horrendous.
Yeah.
But I see over 40 inches in some places in North Carolina.
Wilmington basically is completely cut off, according to our own meteorologist, John Trout. That area around Wilmington, in fact, is currently blocked. And it makes it impossible for those truck drivers out there. It is impossible to get diesel fuel around the Wilmington area. And you can expect over the next several days that along that coastline there in North Carolina, that many of those major roads are going to be impassable. You need to just assume that and make plans otherwise. So if you're looking for fuel or supplies in that area, many of you already know that. But if you haven't been out there yet, if you haven't made a run and you're a professional driver, you need to know that that situation right now is not getting any better. And Wilmington is essentially the roads are blocked. I mean, they're just cut off. They're flooded. Unbelievable. And according to the latest report, 17 now dead as a result of the storm. Now a tropical depression downgraded a little earlier. And just watching this while on vacation, trying to keep up with it as much as possible. We were outdoors quite a bit, but getting lots of text messages and updates on my phone along the way. Thoughts and prayers for our friends there on the East Coast in North Carolina and everyone affected by this storm.
Yeah, I have friends in North Carolina and South Carolina that were affected by it, that evacuated. My other friends in Charlotte or in the Charlotte area, they didn't. But, man, I just was watching the last 36 hours and just the clouds, and the rain that was right over, the Charlotte area. So they're getting hit. I went through Charlotte Airport last Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And, even at that point, there was a delay in one of my flights. I'm like, I don't know if I want to get till Wednesday. You know, make sure I get out of here. But you look at, and it ended up being what a lot of the meteorologists thought it was going to be, that the rain was going to be the worst of it.
Right.
And
the flooding. Yep.
Yeah. That it was something that was just going to come over the area and just stop.
Right.
And settle. And it's exactly what happened. Mm. I know over 40 inches in some places. They expect now 45, 50 inches. You think about that. I mean, you're talking, 3-4 feet
of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To put that in perspective, it's as if over a couple of days, an area got 400 inches of snow.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. A very powerful storm.
Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody in North Carolina. Always some great moments, though. The moment when I saw Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, and he was in, was it Wilmington that he was in, and he's walking down one of the downtown areas, and they smelled food, and there was a Waffle House, and they went in. and they had the emergency generators on, and there were people that had come down from Augusta, corporate people, just to cook for anybody who was there.
Right.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. And no, we just came down from Augusta and we're here. Well, what are you doing? We're just cooking for anybody who needs it. And when you see whether it's the Cajun Navy or any of the people, if you want to know, and we talked about this last year after the Houston hurricane. If you want to see the real America, that's where you see the real America.
Right. Right.
A lot of people think the real America is on Twitter, and it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You know, I experienced on vacation a number of instances, just day-to-day instances of, you know, of people, just interacting with people while on vacation, traveling. And it, you know, it is a great reminder when you're out there. And we've said this a number of times, but it is a great reminder when you just, in your everyday life, how we actually deal with each other, how we actually treat each other. And it's not social media. Social media is becoming like the road rage people who believe they're never going to see the person they just flipped off in the other car. They believe they can stay anonymous. They believe that they can, you know, get away with shouting or whatever it is. But in real life, it's not that way. We treat each other with respect. We're not trolls in real life.
And I would say I agree exactly what you have said. And the other part of it is the professional inside Washington, inside the Beltway trolls.
Yeah, right.
Because
a
lot of the journalists now have become the professional trolls on Twitter.
Yeah.
They really have.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's not, you know, when you see the way that people really are, and I experienced that, the two got to talk to a ton of people on vacation, which is always, you know, really, really good to get a perspective as to what's going on. And really, when you look at, you know, I always look at it, I'm sure you're doing the same thing. Okay, how does this relate? What's going to happen now, coming in the midterms? When we look at, you know, where the narrative is, getting outside of the Washington Beltway, the New York Washington Beltway of Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, what is the nation really thinking? It's really interesting, and I don't know if the pollsters on the mood of the nation, as we get closer to the election time, they usually, you get four or five pollsters that are pretty close on what, you know, the elections are going to be, but what is the actual mood of the country? And we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. The woman comes forward about the alleged sexual assault by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Will that go anywhere? Will that be done in 3 days? Will we still see a vote before October 1st and before the election? Manafort's plea deal from late last week, plus Lisa Page testified that when the Mueller investigation started, there was no evidence of any Russian collusion.
Mm-hmm.
That the FBI at that point had been doing an investigation for what, a year?
Yeah, right.
11 months, maybe, mm-hmm. at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even, and we had said all along, you know, where's the identifiable crime? And people said, well, you don't know, there might have been, these are Democrats that are, or people that believe that Trump must have committed collusion. And we've always stated, where's the evidence? Where is the specific evidence? Where's the specific alleged crime? Lisa Page testifying, that came out over the weekend. That when she testified, she told them, we had nothing.
Right.
When Mueller took over, you know, we couldn't find anything. Now the House Intelligence Committee here in the next couple of weeks to release the interviews with 70 different people. That coming up now. Will the president declassify? We hear again it might be this week. Also coming up here, Ocasio-Cortez can't answer the question, how do you pay for it? You know, I started thinking, everybody's getting on CNN's case.
Yeah.
You know, look at their ratings. Their ratings are going down because they're liberal. Well,
right.
MSNBC's isn't.
Hmm.
Why are CNN's? CNN's actually asking at times good questions. I think CNN at times is ticking off the liberals. For example, when Jake Tapper and I even think it was Cuomo have been asking, you know, Ocasio-Cortez, how are you going to pay for it? And other socialists, how are you going to pay for it? And they can't, they're visibly upset. I don't think liberals want to see that. Look, CNN was never about conservatives keeping that network afloat. it was liberals. I think liberals are getting ticked off at CNN because at times they're questioning whether full-on socialism is the way to go.
Yeah, no, I think a number of things that, you know, there has been, if you look at the way the Lanny Davis thing happened, you know, if you look at the way how everything fell out there, the liberals have been begging CNN essentially to deliver, you know, to bring something to the table that's going to show that Trump is not fit for office, that he should be removed from office. And they haven't done that. Well, because A, there's nothing there. And B, there, you can't have an Ocasio-Cortez or anyone else on in a situation like that and not ask him the very basic question of how you're going to pay for it. But now the question, how are you going to pay for all of this, whether it's Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie or Gillum or any of them, is now sexist, racist, it's wrong, you shouldn't do that. It's the same thing of Matt Lauer asking follow-up questions to Hillary Clinton. It's the exact same action of Jimmy Fallon tussling the hair of then candidate Trump. It's they will just shame you out of existence, and they don't want to be there. They bury their heads in the sand. They don't want to see the bad news about liberals. They don't want to see the reality.
You know, I liked over our vacation was I kept seeing this. The president is unfit. This, what does that mean?
Right.
The majority of Americans believe the president is unfit to be president. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
You don't like what he says?
Well, what has it been? I started counting the number on vacation just the headlines themselves, just the breaking news alerts themselves that you and I both get on our phones, dozens and dozens and dozens every hour, it seems. And it's always, but I started counting just the ones about what he said or tweeted, his words, which we have been saying. The only thing they have on him so far is his words. And it was, I don't know, I lost count. I think it was somewhere around 40 or 50. And that was just in a few-day period. That was just watching it over a few days, looking at it when it came up. Trump says, Trump says, Trump says. Really? Now, there were a number of things that you can talk about. What he's, you know, the numbers thing with Puerto Rico or whatever it is. And you can sit there and say, okay, if he's wrong, he's wrong. You can counter that and you can say, no, here's the number. Is it 3,000? Probably not 3,000. Was it just 16 or 17? No. And the FEMA director on the Sunday talk shows on Sunday kind of set that straight and said, and was defending the president, basically. You can go back and forth on that. But so many of the things are about, the stories are about what Trump
right.
says.
Now, as a political consultant, I looked at that night, you know, because I was watching the Weather Channel, you know, up to like Thursday. Well, I've been watching it, you know, all weekend and everything else, but up to Thursday. And I thought to myself, wow, the federal government is really doing a great job of promoting the fact that, you know, and the local governments, how great the federal government has been with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hope, you know, the president should take advantage of this and not blow it. And then the next thing I see as
the
Puerto Rico tweet.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter whether you think he's right or wrong. It wasn't the time
That's
to be
not
discussing
the time to have that.
That
debate.
And you took away again the great news out there that it seemed like the federal government was getting a tremendous amount of compliments about how they were handling it, and that goes right back to the president.
Sure,
it may not be the president may have nothing to do with it,
right.
But if FEMA doesn't perform. Well, the federal government doesn't perform in a national disaster.
He'll get
the president
blame.
Gets the blame, and he gets the credit.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's only words, but it was a discussion that didn't need to be at that time.
Right.
And I just said, I can't believe it. I thought, all right, how's the president going to blow this? Boom.
Yep. Yeah, it's you know, like I said, it's if you want to get into the numbers game and something that's way off or just horrible timing, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say about it, is – you know, I don't have a problem with the media countering him on something like that when everyone has their mindset on Florence at the time and not on Puerto Rico, and to bring up the debate about Puerto Rico, you know, even right. even acknowledge these studies, which the FEMA director over the weekend was were backing the president, saying, look, these are bogus. FEMA doesn't count the number of deaths. We have a job to do. We're looking to save lives. We're looking to help people. But we don't actually keep track of the number of deaths related directly or indirectly to a storm. But the FEMA director taking issue with some of those studies, saying, I don't know what the methodology here was and how they were how these numbers came about.
My point is, have that debate the end of this week.
Yes.
And, don't have that debate in the middle of Florence.
And that's, you know, that's the exception to the rule. But pretty much everything else leading up to it was Trump says, and it's one thing, again, if it's an action, the whole China tariff thing, you know, over the weekend, you know, looking at upping the tariffs on China. China now saying, well, we may not actually sit down and negotiate because of these new tariffs announced against us. So we may walk away from the table altogether. We may stay away. You know, there are a number of things that are directly related to action and a threat of action. But when it comes down to it, the media is focused really on his Twitter page.
Yeah,
that's not the news. This is the guy he always was from the beginning.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Also coming up on the show, what's all of this Willie Nelson is a liberal stuff?
Are they just learning that?
I'm telling you, that is the evidence that everybody, even many people on the right, are living in this little bubble.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This little bubble.
How have they not known?
This little bubble that nothing exists outside of the news that we have today. He was campaigning for Kucinich, for God's sakes, right. back 10 years ago.
Yeah. That's been the case, gosh,
and this
as long as I can remember, he's been a liberal, right?
Yeah. And this is the story that came out that he's supporting Robert Francis O'Rourke.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Against Ted Cruz.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah. It's like, duh.
Mm. Yeah, I would expect that.
Yeah.
His home state, Willie's home state, is Texas.
It's like, fans are upset. What are you talking about? Mm. Anybody who's a real fan of Willie Nelson know that he's a liberal.
You know he's a liberal.
He's been a liberal for the longest time.
Right. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
As the remnants of what was Hurricane Florence continue to move in through the Appalachians, we'll see additional rainfall systems which could top over 15 inches. Further inland, the rainfall will cause new areas of river flooding, flash flooding, and even the potential for landslides along the southern and western side of the Appalachians for the next couple days. We'll see Seattle 65 and sunny today, LA clear and 84. Dallas high temperature today around 90 under partly cloudy skies. For Chicago, we'll see continued fog and then sunny and 80. New York City, a 20% chance of showers, high today around 80. Atlanta, mostly cloudy, 88 with a 20% chance of storms. Miami, 89 with those typical afternoon thunderstorms for this time of year. Starting off your Monday, there's a look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
agent provocateurs, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. So glad that you're with us here as we are back from vacation and ready to go. Also coming up here, an analysis of some of the competitive house races of the TV ads. You know what's missing in the TV ads from the Democrats?
What's that?
Trump.
Yeah.
They're talking about the free stuff.
Right.
And by the way, you know, when we were talking about Ocasio-Cortez earlier, and we'll play the audio coming up here when she was with Jake Tapper on again, where she can't explain, you know, where she's going to get the money from.
Right.
Now, I will say this. It didn't work for Cynthia Nixon. Cynthia Nixon, who lost, what was it, by 30 points to Andrew Cuomo. She couldn't take, we didn't think she could, but she couldn't take down Governor Cuomo in New York, and we thought she came up with the best answer. Oh, pass it, and we'll figure out how to pay for it down, you know,
right,
later on.
Right, right, right.
We figured that'd be the answer that you should give. Ocasio-Cortez just won't ask answer the question. The problem is nobody cares where the money will come from.
Right.
They just want the free stuff.
Right.
That's where we're going as a nation. People just want the free. Give me the free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care about how it's going to be paid for. Someone else will pay for it. We're not really concerned about the details. Borrow money from future generations. We don't care. Give us the free stuff.
At least in 2008, they came up with something. They were still trying to, you know, make it vague and kind of convoluted with hope and change, right? You could apply so many things to that blank canvas. Now it's just straight out promise of free things. And you know, that's, by the way, that's been the case for a long time with, especially with the socialist Democrats. But now it is, there's really nothing else there. That's the only promise. That's the only thing they can, well, they believe they, or they want you to believe they can deliver.
But the biggest story last week that nobody talked about, it wasn't even a top story at all, is that last Wednesday, the government announced that we are now the world's biggest oil producer.
Mm-hmm.
The United States of America is the biggest oil producer in the world as of last Wednesday when the announcement came out from the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody know that?
Nope. Wasn't a big... You have to be a news hound or somebody who really follows along closely, like many of the people in our audience do, but no, you wouldn't have seen that if you were just the normal, everyday, you know, mom and dad going to work and coming home. Why? Because there was no coverage of it. And this goes back to what we talked about with the president. Those are the things you tweet. Those are the numbers you can tweet and have them fact check. Those are the ones you want to have a debate on.
Well, it'd be tough for CNN to get on the president's case on it since CNN...
Yep.
Has the headline,
yep.
America is now the world's largest oil producer.
Right.
That's the point that we have talked about, you know, when I look last week at what they have about the president is his words.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the substance, and I had some great discussions with a number of people, again, on this vacation, that overall Trump is, with the executive orders that he has put out and the legislation that he has promoted, not a radical at all. He's in the mainstream of America politics over the last 8,100 years in this country.
Yep.
It's just the words that he uses.
Yep.
And the tone of the words.
Mm-hmm.
Because Democrats don't mind being lied to.
No, 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 not at all.
As long as you do it in a nice way. If, you know, if you're President Obama and you lie in a thoughtful way.
Yeah.
If you lie in a caring way.
Right.
If you lie and your tone is softer, we accept that.
Mm-hmm.
That is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you somebody who is grappling. Oh, they, well, since they said it in a soft tone, it's not a lie. It's, he, you know, just had a different way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Because the tone was right and the tone was proper when
it was the intent of the lie.
Well, look, when the former president spoke last week and talked about Benghazi being a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
It's an absolute lie, and everybody knew it.
Yes.
Everybody knows it. Anybody who knows anything about Benghazi knows that when former President Obama said that last week, he was lying.
But had Trump said Benghazi, this is, can you imagine, had Trump tweeted that Benghazi, the whole thing about Benghazi was a conspiracy theory?
Right.
Well, that would have forced the media to go out and actually tell the truth about Benghazi.
But when we talk about the president's words, mm-hmm. I believe the president's words harm him all the time,
right,
and harm the Republican movement all the time, and therefore indirectly harm the conservative movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when you see last week that, now, you don't tweet about how great your response is to a hurricane. You don't need to do that.
No.
You may talk about that down the road.
That were affected by that great response.
And he didn't do that.
Right.
Except he said there's great people out there. What you do. You talk about the great people that are out there, you know, doing the
work on the ground. Yep.
In fact, I thought he handled that great last week when he talked about the great people out there. The, you know, listen to the instructions, everything else that they say. And by the way, I do believe that, you know, watching the Weather Channel, I'm shaking my head saying, wow. That's what we become. We have to tell people that, you know, that we have to tell people that a hurricane can kill them.
Yeah.
We have to tell people over and over and over again that massive flash flooding can kill people. So please be careful.
Right.
And I watched a ton. I wanted to see what it was. And I was on vacation. So I watched a ton of the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the biggest publicity was with the one reporter. Apparently making it seem like the wind was really blowing and a couple of people were walking right behind them, no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to be the biggest. See, there are a bunch of fake news, but you actually learned a lot. You learned a lot about, you know, what FEMA was doing, the relationship between the local governments and the federal governments. And so it was, you know, it was looking great. And I did say to myself, how will the president blow it? And he brought up Puerto Rico. Doesn't matter whether the president is correct on it. It wasn't the time to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was bringing up a topic when you didn't need to bring that topic up. When your federal government that you're over was doing a great job, you just let that lie. Talk about the great people out there. Warn people what to do. And take credit for the United States on Wednesday. Because remember, that's when he started coming out with all those tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again that we're the world's now largest oil producer.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hear a word.
No, because the mainstream media is not going to do that job for you. You know, you'll see the story here and there, but it's not going to get the kind of social media buzz that it would get if it were a negative about the Trump economy.
But if you think you're around my age, which is 29 and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dog years. It's okay.
Dog years. Right. Yeah. Somebody's going to believe that.
Yeah. Really?
You look old for 29. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
but if you know, going through in beginning of 74.
Yeah.
I can mark it down. It was March and April and May of 74.
Mm.
When the first problems with gasoline hit in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
When, you know, price controls came in and everything. And from that point on, from 74 and 73, remember, 73 was the last time that we were the world's biggest oil producer.
Mm.
And then we got the OPEC cartel and we think about that all the way up to 2005, you and I were doing the show together, 2005, 2006, 2007, peak oil. We're running out of oil. There's no more oil anymore.
Right.
We've got to go to electric vehicles and windmills and everything else. And you were like, well, we know the new technology's out there. And from what we know with geologists that we respect, there's a ton of oil out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not running out of oil. We simply need to get to the technology of doing it. Well, the technology came about. The conspiracy theorists for the peak oil gone, disappeared. Hey, peak oil people, where are you? What are you doing? Did they just move on to something else?
Remember, I think so.
Remember the number? You guys are idiots. It's peak oil. I mean, it was unending.
Well, they had one guy, I remember on, I think it was on either History or Discovery, I can't remember. But this was something that was as late as 2012 where and they repeated it a few years later. I don't know why they did that, but there was, it was basically the discussion of what's going to happen, how is it all going to end for us, right? What is the major problem? You know, will it be a banking catastrophe? Will it be a power grid catastrophe? And one of them was promoting still peak oil. I'm out there on the road, and the roads are just barren. There's just no one out there. And I thought to myself, well, if you're in North Dakota, maybe. If you're on a farm-to-market road somewhere, maybe, I can see that. I'm not seeing near the number of vehicles on the road because we're running out of oil. And I just thought to myself, man, Eddie's. You're just making it up as you go along.
And so when you think about, and so you go back to 74.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now talking 44 years of a country being in a mild panic and sometimes mm-hmm. a big panic mm-hmm. as to what we're going to do about energy production mm-hmm. and the depleting supplies and not being able to keep an economy going to Wednesday of last week. When you think about it, 44 years of that kind of negative news.
Right.
That we're being controlled by other countries and we just can't do it and our dollar will be worth not, I mean, just go through all the different scenarios, Eric, that you and I have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what a monumental day it was last Wednesday mm-hmm. when the United States government came out and said, we are the world's number one oil producer again for the first time in 45 years.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're just going to keep going up and up and up and up and up and up. I mean, it's such incredibly great news. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that when that announcement was made, number one, whoever thought we would be making that announcement mm-hmm. ever again, you know, 10 years ago, when you think about it, whoever thought we'd be making that announcement. I knew we could produce more oil. I did not know. It was never even a thought that we could become the world's number one oil producer again and start blowing everybody out of the water over the next 5 to 10 years
mm-hmm.
with everything that we have here and what we can get. Not even a story.
Nope. The positive news, again, is not going to get the buzz. So you have to create that when you're the head of the party, the president. You've got to create that. All the more reason to be tweeting nothing but positive numbers, period. And there's no way to dispute them. Let them fact check them. All the better. That's going to work in your favor.
So I just thought it was worth mentioning that the number one story, the something that we would have looked upon 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and said, my God, that'd be the biggest story.
Mm-hmm.
Of a decade
yeah.
that we became the world's number one oil producer again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming natural gas we are too, right? I'm going to guess.
I don't know if that's the case on natural gas, but we're one of the leaders.
Yeah,
one of the leaders and have been for a while. Yeah.
And you just think about it. You would think that would be the story. That would be the number one story. You think about it. If someone would say, "What's the biggest story over the last 10 years?" In the United States of America, that we became the world's number one oil producer again, would have to be in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a mention when it happens.
Right.
CNN had it, whatever, but it was not promoted at all. You didn't see
there was a buzz
that people are talking about in that incredible thing that we have done again as the country that we are, that we have again gone through all of this over the last 45 years and come out on top again. Nothing.
Well, and you could tweet those if you're the president. Very simple. MAGA fact. And then that's your hashtag, MAGA fact.
Well,
making America great again. Fact.
Well,
and then state.
And by the way, you and I have always stated that making America great again was an economic statement.
Yep.
And it fits right into the oil production. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour, the woman who has come forward about the alleged sexual assault by Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and where this may go. News cycle moving extremely quickly on that one. Yeah, went to sleep and woke up and went, oh,
yeah.
Wow.
What? Lindsey Graham saying over the weekend that he's not opposed to having a hearing where she can basically, tell about her that encounter and give her side of the story, but he wants it still within that 3-day process. He doesn't want the process delayed at all.
Right.
Just let that be a part of the process.
And where do you go with an allegation that is so old, 35 years old,
yeah,
if it's uncooperated, except
yeah,
he Grassley, said, she said at that point.
Grassley calling that very disturbing that it's coming about now, decades later.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Well, the big story over the last, 3 days has been the woman who was accused, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, of sexual assault when they were teenagers. Her name, Christine Ford, in an article published in the Washington Post on Sunday, she came forward. The story so far is uncooperated. No other person. The other person that she has named as the two people denied it ever happened.
Yep. Kavanaugh's also denied it.
Right. Kavanaugh's also denied that it happened before her name came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he has spoken on it since. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. Here's the situation. You had Bob Woodward. This also came out in an interview over the weekend. Came out and said, nope, in all of his searching, couldn't find any collusion with Trump, the Trump campaign with the Russians. Mm-hmm. Zero.
Right.
Things may get exciting in the White House. They may be a little bit disorganized. But no collusion. And he searched, as he said, I searched hard for it, couldn't find anything. That's the problem right here with Christine Ford coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fact that you have an entire Republican Party and the base that follows it, knowing that there is no length to the lies and misinformation that Democrats and the media will use in order to get President Trump.
Yep, it's limitless. I mean, they will. You look at the Lanny Davis thing. It was known what was going on
right
there. If you look at a number of things where, again, make it seem like something when it's not. What I wonder is if you looked at the allegation here against Kavanaugh and you stated that, if you did a poll, just a casual man on the street poll, what people, I guess, would think about that, of an accuser coming forward decades later saying this happened when we were teenagers. And then from that point, asking people, things that you did as a teenager, did you do anything that might be, again, Kavanaugh has denied all of this. But if you look at things that people have done in their lifetime, many people will tell you, well, I did some stupid things when I was a kid. So the point being is not whether or not it happened. It may have happened. We don't know. I do find it curious that an accuser comes about all these years later, because Kavanaugh isn't somebody that's just out of the blue here. He has been, he's held a considerable position of power for a number of years. So the left's argument that, well, no, it matters now because he's going to be possibly a Supreme Court justice. No, it would matter then. It would matter. You would want that. In fact, why didn't that happen during the whole hashtag Me Too movement? So there's a lot of questions there, but I wonder what the public sentiment is about it, because that's where the political pressure will come from.
Now,
if the Republicans believe that there's pressure to delay the hearing from their own constituents, then that's where the effect is. That's where the negative effect is on Brett Kavanaugh.
When you have, and I think it was Bill Maher on Friday came out and just said, wow, you know, that you know, he even looked at, now this is before the specific allegations came out,
right?
And she was named, but she did say, you know, her and her husband, that she mentioned the incident, if not Kavanaugh's name, when she was in couples counseling in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Now her husband has said, yes, she has mentioned Kavanaugh's name in the past. Mm-hmm. Also, to the therapist, she said there were four.
Mm-hmm.
Now they said, well, the therapist got that wrong, that it wasn't four, that it was only two.
Mm-hmm.
In these situations like this, if you are somebody who is an abuser, when you look at all the incidents out there, whether it is we'll use Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
When one comes forward, others come forward.
Right.
So it gets to the point of the right believes, rightly or wrongly, but the right believes, because of what they have seen over the last couple of years, going after Donald Trump, calling him a traitor,
mm-hmm.
saying he has committed treason, and knowing that inside of the liberal power base in this country, even more important than demonizing Donald Trump is ensuring that Brett Kavanaugh does not become a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no lengths that the right does not believe that Democrats on the left will go to in order to delay the confirmation process.
Right.
So you've got a ton of questions here. And the questions would be, number one, why did Feinstein wait such a long time to let this out? Why did the woman want so much privacy until just the last couple of days, when all of a sudden she's been convinced to do it?
Right.
There are a lot of questions. And the ultimate question is, if you get to this point and no other women come out, it's just this woman has come out and it's uncooperated and nobody else backs her story. That nobody else backs her story, the other people that she has accused of being involved in it deny it, and it would have been the other one, has already denied it. Where do you go at that point?
Well, because, again, it would be more disturbing if there were a number of allegations from different people, if it were a pattern, if it had been a pattern over the years as well, something that had been brought up in the past.
You had a pattern with Weinstein.
Yes.
You had a pattern with Bill Clinton.
Right.
You had a pattern with I can't think of his name from Alabama. I can't
Roy Moore.
Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pattern, especially when you're talking about abuse. There was a pattern that happened. Will you have that here? And if you don't have it, will this go the 3 days and say, okay, it's an allegation from high school, can't cooperate it with anybody else?
Right.
Sorry, he's in.
Because the allegations include the fact that within the allegations that they were both minors at the time, to be clear.
Yes.
This was not a situation where Kavanaugh was older and it was a minor. They were both minors at the time. Because that changes things. It could change again if you were to attach it to a pattern of behavior, a number of allegations over the years. You think about the whole Hollywood thing, right? That the Harvey Weinstein thing had been out there. The rumors within that 30-mile zone of Hollywood had been out there for a long time. Even the rumors about Kevin Spacey had been out there for a long time. But it wasn't really known outside outside of Hollywood, just within that real, you know, that inner circle of people. But they knew about it. And what did you have when the Weinstein thing fell out? You had a number of highly influential Hollywood actors and actresses that said, yeah, we were aware and we should have done something. We probably should have spoken up. If you had that situation here with Kavanaugh, where, well, these rumors had been around, and you had people just kind of essentially backing up, even if it weren't a number of accusers, but you had something where, you know, it was, well, no, this was kind of known. No one really talked about it.
Or
then if, that would be bad news
or
as well.
Or if you look at the Keith Ellison case in Minnesota that came out and then sort of died. And this is where the son, was the son or the stepson? It was her son, the son of the former girlfriend.
Right, right.
Who said he found a video on his mother's computer. There's a video that exists showing that Minnesota Democrat attempting to drag his mother off the bed while cursing at her.
Right, right.
And that, well, when you have video, that also changes it up.
Right.
And so you look at it. But if it's just this woman, uncooperated from 35 years ago, I don't see it going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that it's going to affect the vote. I just don't know that the process is going to be slowed by this. You had, again, Lindsey Graham saying, you know, well, he wouldn't be opposed to having her as a part of the hearing, but it would have to be within that three-day process. The process cannot be delayed. Then you had Chuck Grassley come out and say, basically, it's disgusting that something like this would come out after decades. And again, if it were, it doesn't matter whether he's a Supreme Court justice or at any other level, he is somebody who had a considerable position of power, was in a considerable position of power before being on the Supreme Court, that if he is that type of person, if he were to be an abusive person, then that should have been known.
You have Jeff Flake, though, saying he won't vote until he hears more.
Right. I suspect with Flake, it's kind of like what you had in the process before, where, well, I'm going to see about it, and he's going to put up his objection because, you know, he doesn't have to worry about reelection, and he can do this. But I think ultimately you're going to get the vote. I don't know if Flake is going to be a part of that vote or is going to be a yes vote still, but I do believe you're going to get that vote, and I think the process will continue, and it will continue without delay.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Looking to purchase your own truck or trailer? Agile Financial Company may be able to help with financing. Eric Gifford with Agile tells us about the company and the process of getting approved.
We started back in 2004, 2008. We opened our first brick-and-mortar office, and we've been serving truckers through today with an A-plus business rating from the BBB. But we don't go by credit score. We actually look at their credit profile, experience in the industry, stability factor. So we treat them as a person, not a score. We look for the way to get them approved and into their own truck, especially the guys just starting out and getting into their first truck. Commercial trucks, the medium duty to the class 8 trucks, all type trailers of all types as well. Just not brand new equipment. We specialize in just the used equipment. Generally an approval within 24 to 48 hours. After that, depending on how fast the customer wants to move, they can be in their new truck in 3 to 7 days total. Go to Agile, A-G-I-L-E, truck. truck.com. Get an application printed out there. They sign it, fill it out completely, send it in to us along with the truck or trailer information that they're interested in, and we take off working for them from that point.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, talking about the woman who was accused, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, of, I guess it would be sexual assault in high school. We go to Gary in Queens, New York. Gary, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, guys. Listen up. I joked a few days ago about that the Democrats would come up with this same old Clarence Thomas playbook, and they sure enough they did. It's the Hail Mary pass to block any critical appointment. It always comes up. But when you look at football or chess, there's always a common attack where you see a good countermeasure, except if you're the Republican Party. They never come up with something that's a counter to this. I don't know why. Maybe
well, what would it be?
Well, you have to bring up the basis of it is unfounded. Initially, she was anonymous, but even still,
why does
this always happen?
No, they have brought all of that up.
They say they didn't have a history of that, so this is a
look. There is no again. What you're saying is you wish there was a countermeasure,
but effectively, really, there isn't.
Right. There isn't. The only thing you have is there evidence? What is the evidence that this happened? Is there evidence? And because you brought it up at the last second, you need to have a ton of evidence in order for us to stop this process.
Well, and really, when it comes down to any accusation by an individual against another individual, it is the accused that it has to defend themselves. They have to tell their side of the story. That's the only way you can do that. There's no one that can step in, except for maybe somebody else who was there that night, and the other party that was also being accused has denied the allegation as well. But you, for anyone in the Republican Party to try and defend a Brett Kavanaugh or anybody else who's being accused of something, you really can't do that if you weren't there, if you don't know the person, didn't know the person in high school. I mean, there's really no way to defend them. This goes back to the point that you and I have talked about with endorsements. I don't, unless I truly know a person, and I mean, I would have to know them. I can vote for someone, but endorsements are a much bigger deal. And so that's why the Democrats know that this is at least going to get the attention of the press. They know this is going to, and they hope this is going to delay the process a bit, or at least, you know, throw a cog in the wheel. This is going to be something that they hope slows down that process. I suspect it won't, because I don't know that it's going to go anywhere, because right now it's her word against his. And again, it's something that happened in high school when both of them were much younger, if it happened at all. The allegation is not even a pattern of behavior. It's not something where they're saying that this is the kind of person that he is. So there's really no way to find the truth. There isn't. Unless he wrote to her about it and apologized for it and signed it, I don't know that that is going to be the case. Roy Moore, the whole situation there. I mean, if you look at how that election actually played out while he lost, he didn't lose by big numbers. He lost, but he didn't lose by big numbers. In a situation like this, when you're looking at a confirmation, it does go back to what the constituents believe of those senators who are going to be voting on this. And if those senators believe that the constituents believe the accuser, then Kavanaugh's in trouble. I suspect that will not be the case.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RUD-EYE, talking about the Brett Kavanaugh and the allegation of sexual assault against him. So we'll continue with your calls and comments coming up here. Oh, that's right. I thought we had...
Yeah, I think it's, you know, this is, and you know, the last caller's right. This is right out of the leftist playbook.
Oh, it is.
You know, there's no doubt you can't get Kavanaugh seated. Look, their bigger their bigger play would have been early on when the conservatives were issuing concerns about Kavanaugh. Remember, you know, going through and vetting him and saying, okay, is he a constructionist? Is he a true constructionist? Conservatives, is he somebody we want seated on the highest court? Could it put cases in peril?
And here's the other argument. The other argument is, you knew this in July.
Mm-hmm.
This woman claims that, you know, she contacted whatever Feinstein in July. Well, mm-hmm. why didn't you come forward then when he was? I mean, why wait till now? There's only one reason to wait till now, is to destroy any possibility of Trump being able to
yep.
appoint anybody to the Supreme Court that he would want.
Yeah.
They never follow the company code of conduct. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. The allegation against Brett Kavanaugh. Eric, like everything that we've talked about, everything should be based on evidence. You know, we've talked about the Russian collusion allegation that's been going on for over 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have said, where's the evidence? Put on the investigator's hat, and where is the actual evidence of wrongdoing?
Right.
Everything you go by, the evidence. In this case, this allegation against Brett Kavanaugh, what you lack is evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You have an allegation from one person who does not remember a ton of details about the house that it was in, you know, when the party was, what house it was in, where it was held, but knows it was Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
The other person that she has alleged to be involved in the assault said absolutely not. Statute of limitations is way out. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's gone.
Right.
That doesn't even apply here whatsoever. So where do you go? Anybody who knew Brett Kavanaugh in high school knows about this story and knows about Brett Kavanaugh, correct?
Yep.
Who doesn't? Somebody
right.
becomes somebody running for Supreme Court. You will know, you'll know in his career now that it's come out now. We have seen it happen over and over again. When an allegation is made, once that one allegation is made, then another allegation is made, and another allegation is made, and another allegation is made. We saw it going far back as President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, President Clinton. And but in this particular case, she says there were only two people. Two people that had any idea that this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because two people were involved in it, she claims, even though she told the therapist four, she said the therapist got it wrong. So where's the evidence? And I think that's why you probably have, unless more women start coming out, as we have seen in the past in the next couple of days. What you have is a situation going in as an investigator. And this means what as an investigator? I don't have any bias anyway. This is a charge that's being made. I have no bias against. I have no reason to want Kavanaugh. I have no reason not to want Kavanaugh because there's nothing to do with my investigation. Doesn't matter whether I like Kavanaugh or not. What's the evidence that exists here?
Right.
The evidence exists is an allegation. It is not evidence that she brought up to a therapist that she was assaulted at this party, as she said in 2012, even though she did not give the name of Kavanaugh to the therapist. Her husband claims that she identified Kavanaugh as the person.
Mm-hmm.
That still is not evidence.
Right.
So it's a standstill. So you go and you, over the next 3 days, will she test? By the way, she hasn't agreed to testify before Congress.
No, she has not. Lindsey Graham was open to that idea, but that really was being brought up by the media and some on the left. You know, she should be heard. So far, she's only talked to the Washington Post.
Right.
So, would she agree to come in? I mean, she would be under oath, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it would be part of the process, the confirmation hearing process.
Yep.
So, she's under oath. And that comes with a penalty if she violates that oath of perjury. And so the question is, would she do that? Is she competent enough to do that? Is she willing to do that?
Yeah, you know, has she named the other person?
I have not seen the name on the other person.
Because at that point, that can also be viewed if he can look at it if his name comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I didn't do it. At that point, that's slander.
Yes. Well, I wondered about that over the weekend and last week as we were gone and kind of going over the story in my head, wondering about what Kavanaugh would do, likely because of the process. And he doesn't want this to be slowed down or tainted or give it any credibility. I don't know that he would take any legal action against her, although he could. Remember what happened with Roy Moore. You know, they were challenging his accuser. And so could you see that over the weekend when her statement, I guess, to the Washington Post, the Kavanaugh accuser here, when her statement to the Washington Post came out, Kavanaugh's, you know, camp did not reply with a comment. But I wonder here what would be the next move. Because if you're making false allegations about someone, that is slander. And if it is to be done on Capitol Hill, she's going to be under oath. If she agreed to do it. And if they would allow it to be done.
Now, we know that she has, I mean, the name of the other person is known
because they've denied it. Yes.
He has denied it, but I have not.
I don't know anybody that's named him.
And so if she says it and they know who his name, will he be called to testify?
Right. Well, if you were Kavanaugh, you would want that. Because you would want someone to counter the claim. Neither would be compelled to testify, right?
But both would be under oath.
Yes.
Can you be subpoenaed to testify before Congress?
On something like this? I don't think so. Because it's not a matter of the people. And it's even not a matter of a criminal case, because as you mentioned, the statute of limitations has passed. So that is something that likely would not, there would not
but
be.
But if I am called to testify before Congress as an individual and I mm-hmm. don't go,
mm-hmm.
am I not out of order? What is it? Am I in contempt of Congress?
Right. I don't know.
If they call me to subpoena me for whatever they want, don't I have to go?
I don't know.
And if I
don't know that it is because at that point
I can claim the fifth.
Let me back up here, because it actually is a matter of the people, because if you're saying that you have information that this person is not who he says he is and that he has committed heinous acts in the past, even as a teenager, then that is a matter of the people. That is a matter, because this is the confirmation process for the highest court. I'm just looking at it from the legal perspective, and that if it is true, you owe it to the people to come testify as to the type of person that he is. Now, here's the other side of that. Are we going to see this in every confirmation process going forward? Now, you know, we've seen it, as the earlier caller mentioned. You know, Clarence Thomas, you've seen this before. This is not new, but it is exceptional. It is rare. It doesn't happen typically. Typically, it happens with, well, used to happen with the questions about your thoughts or your assessment on a certain case, and maybe your judgments in the past on cases. It's based on that, and those questions surround that. Well, it's quite possible those times are long gone. It's quite possible that this is going to be, you know, part of the future from here on. I guess we'll have to see. But I don't know that you're going to compel her to testify. Do you ask her to testify? Do you request that she testifies? If you're on the left, if you're Cory Booker, then you would have to insist that she testifies because she has important information. She was willing to go to the Washington Post. Then why wouldn't she be willing to testify on Capitol Hill?
Knowing how the process goes.
Right. And knowing that her name is out there now, she was not afraid to talk to the Washington Post. Is she afraid to testify under oath?
Well, but I think any reasonable person knows that once you get involved in the political process,
yes,
you're going to be brought into it.
Right.
So was it done this way in order to maximize your potential to knock down this nomination, or
right,
was it done to tell the American people the truth?
Well, because
that will be in the court of public opinion.
Right. Well, and the media, the Washington Post has the story, but now the rest of the media has her full name. They're likely have been calling her any number associated with her now since the Post broke the story and revealed her name, and they've likely attempted to, you know, go to her home and
right,
and request an interview and ask her questions. And one of those questions, if not a number of those questions, likely surrounds the idea of testifying during the process. Maybe she is willing to testify. Maybe she's very willing and confident in her testimony and in her accusation and position against Kavanaugh. I don't know that. But if she does, she will be under oath.
I saw the one story, and I don't know whether it was a post or not, that said she claims she had never told anybody else until she brought it up in therapy,
mm-hmm,
in 2012.
Right. Don't
so,
know.
Yeah. So, and that gets to the reason I bring that up, that gets to the point of evidence.
Right.
Is there any evidence? Did she tell anybody back then? Okay, she told nobody back then, not even a close friend. Not even, you know, no one back then, if that story stays.
Mm-hmm.
But then if that story doesn't stay, then that hits to her credibility in a way.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, too, she would be responsible and would likely need a lawyer present during that,
yes,
testimony.
Mm-hmm. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Michael in Las Vegas. Michael, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just want to make a comment real quick. As sure as the sun rises tomorrow and sets tomorrow, this is all fake. It's 100,000% fake. The Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, NBC, they are all in cahoots. None of it is real. It's just to throw cement into the process. Nobody's going to be testifying. They don't have anything to go on. Like you were saying earlier, there's no evidence. They know there's no evidence. They're postponing it. They think some big blue wave is going to come. even though unemployment's low, the economy's booming, median income's over $60,000 a year.
Right, but
for some reason,
we understand. But as you said, if you're looking at it from an investigator's point of view, you look at this case and the evidence of this particular case, and it's not just the mainstream media covering it. Fox is covering the story. Wall Street Journal's covering the story. Washington Times is carrying the story. Everybody's carrying the story. So who's carrying the story doesn't matter. It's whether the allegation is true or not, because everybody is covering the story, from conservative media
to... Well, because the allegation came out.
Right, exactly. So I don't know how the... I've seen the allegation. I haven't seen it emboldened by the Washington Post as of yet. I haven't seen that the Washington Post added anything to what this woman had said. I'm just bringing this up because you brought up the media, as if the media was somehow responsible in this case for this.
Well, I wouldn't say responsible for this particular case, but it's all tied together with the New York Times and that fake op-ed.
Okay.
It's all tied to the Washington Post and this fake thing. It's all tied together. It's all fake. Every bit of it. Until something comes out when there's multiple people, like you said, there was no
right.
pattern of behavior at all with Kavanaugh. With Roy Moore, there might have been a little bit of a pattern. So for him, it was maybe a little bit shady. People said, I mean, he might not be guilty, but you know what? He's a little shady. Brett Kavanaugh is not shady in any way, shape, or form. And they know when he gets on the bench, it's going to solidify that spot.
Absolutely.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the next to go. When
right.
Trump gets three picks in 3 years, that's it for them. And he's probably going to get four. By the time he's done in 2024, he's going to have four. And that is going to be the end-all, be-all for progressive,
and
liberal, everybody.
And, Michael,
yeah,
that's why I made the point, the political point earlier, that they fear his appointments more than they fear Trump.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, that's they want to, you know, they want to make a big deal about Trump, but they realize the lasting effect is those appointments. By the way, another Michael, not Michael from Las Vegas, but Michael Moore, saying, yeah, he'll probably be reelected in 2020 about Trump. Let's see if Michael Moore's prediction comes true.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. We're talking about the sexual assault allegation against, and it's being called attempted assault, sexual assault allegation also, because, you know, they were apparently at this high school party, from what she's claiming, that that he climbed on top of her, put his hand over her mouth, and then his friend jumped on top of them both, and then they all fell to the floor, and that's when she ran out, is what she's claiming.
Yeah, the he being Brett Kavanaugh.
He, right, the
yes,
right,
the accused,
right, the accused. So Kavanaugh has denied the allegation when they surfaced last week before the accuser's name came out. So here's where we are. And that's why the last caller is talking about the media and the conspiracy and everything. And we understand that all. And we've talked about the politics before. The Democrats fear more than anything another Supreme Court justice picked by Donald Trump.
Hmm.
Not because the Supreme Court justice was picked by Donald Trump, though. It is because of the beliefs of that Supreme Court justice. To them, there can be nothing closer to doomsday than a Kavanaugh and then maybe another pick, Donald Trump pick, who is an originalist constructionist getting on the Supreme Court. That we understand completely.
Mm-hmm.
But on this case right here, it doesn't come down to the media. It doesn't come down to the conspiracy against Trump, even though that's part of the political process, as we had mentioned earlier. Because you have a ton of people that have supported Donald Trump and people that may not even support Trump, but look at it and say, wow, the allegations against him for Russian collusion were just incredible. And when you saw that conspiracy to attempt, you know, that still, I mean, that the protests going on in front of the White House that we had talked about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Treason. He's committed treason with the Russians to hack the election. Just a month and a half ago, the majority of Democrats still believe that the election machines, the voting machines, were tampered with by the Russians and the vote total was changed.
Right.
So we've got a complete delusional mess of liberals running around out there with every type of conspiracy theory. The right knows it and they don't like it. But in this case, what do you have? In this case, you have a woman that's made the accusation. She has said, I never told anybody until I told my therapist in 2012 that this happened.
Right.
A name was never mentioned to the therapist. The number of people was 4 that the therapist got. She claims that there were 2. This is Christine Blasey Ford, whose name is now out. She said that the therapist got it wrong, but no name was mentioned. Only her husband says she mentioned the name, and that was in 2012.
Yeah.
And so nobody else was ever told. The only other possible witness would be the alleged accomplice, if you wish to call him the accomplice, or the other man apparently in the room who jumped on top of them, and then they all fell to the floor, and then that's when it all... That is the person who would know. That person has said, nope, never happened.
Right.
So the most that you can get out of this from what we know right now, because no one else knows, according to the alleged victim, nobody else knows. Doesn't matter. The therapist is not a witness.
No.
The husband is not a witness.
Nope.
Her husband's not a witness. It's her, Kavanaugh, and the other alleged person in that room.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it.
And there's nowhere to go with the case after that. That's it.
Because I don't know, without some kind of admission one way or the other, or some other type of evidence, which would be, I guess, possibly a Brett Kavanaugh writing a note to her, apologizing for doing it.
Right.
And describing exactly what he did. Or at least alluding to it. Because this is about the credibility of the individual. This is about a vetting process of the type of individual that is to be seated on the highest court. That's what all of this is about. There will be no criminal charges against Brett Kavanaugh. The question is, where do you go? Where do you take this from here? Because the left, the Democrats in the Senate, want this to delay the process. Okay, why is that? Well, because we want time to learn more. Great, you're going to have her testify then, right? Because that would be the next step. If we want to learn more, the American people deserve to learn more. Call her to testify. Is she willing to do that? She will be under oath. Could a Chuck Grassley call her? Could a Republican, any Republican, call her to testify and say, if you have something, then you owe it to the American people? If you were willing to talk to the Washington Post, you must be willing, certainly, to talk openly to the American people. And maybe she is. But again, she will be under oath.
And then the only other witness that you have would be the other man in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Who isn't Brett Kavanaugh?
Right. He's not been named, but certainly he is known because he has denied it to
right.
a number of people. And so the question is, would you then call him to testify in order to defend Brett Kavanaugh or counter the accusations? At some point, you're going to have to move forward with this. Now, we know, I believe this is all about delaying the process. But if you're going to delay the process, then you must follow up with that. There must be something behind that delay. And that could be again, remember with the documents. Well, we need time to review the documents. Well, then we learned that this was all a ploy. This was all organized that they were going to remember. It included their plan at one point of getting up and walking out. They wanted to try and delay the hearings. Now they want to delay the rest of the process. Okay, as Lindsey Graham said over the weekend, look, I'm open to hearing her and tell her side of the story as a part of the current schedule. If she wanted to, you know, tell her side of the story, that's fine, but it shouldn't delay the process. And I agree with that. It shouldn't. But if she wants to testify, she should do that, but she should also know she will be under oath.
But it doesn't seem like a complicated case or anything that would take that long, even if she wished to testify.
Right. I mean, because you're talking about an incident that, according to her description, took place over a few minutes' time. It was not something that reoccurred. It was not something that happened for a lengthy period of time. It was a matter of minutes.
Right.
So it should only be a matter of minutes in terms of the back and forth and the questions surrounding it. It should only be, I'm guessing, a half hour if everybody gets their questions in.
Which means a full day.
Yeah, exactly, on Capitol Hill.
Right.
That's an entire day. But
since she didn't, she admitted,
mm-hmm.
I never told anybody until I told the therapist.
Right.
Well, then, that, and by the way, the other thing that 65 women that he went to high school with
mm-hmm.
all testified, you know, he's above board in every single way.
Right.
That actually means nothing when it comes to the evidence of this incident.
Because they weren't in that room. They
right.
were not a witness to what the allegations are. If that ever did happen, they weren't there. Now,
but if you had 65 come out and have similar allegations against him at that point,
that would be a pattern of behavior.
That would be, yes.
You know, based on accusations still, but it would be a pattern of behavior. And that would be something of greater consideration. I don't know that there is anywhere to go with this other than having her testify, the accuser testify. If she's not willing to testify, there's nothing else to learn here. The Washington Post pretty much told the whole story. As far as we know, there's nothing that's been left out of that story, her story, because if that were the case, it's either the fault of hers or the Washington Post's for not telling the entire story. Either she told it to them and they left it out, or she didn't tell them the whole story. The point being, we know everything about it. There's no reason to delay it and learn anything more. You could say that about any given nominee for the highest court. Well, we need to talk to every person that this person has ever known. Nope, not reasonable. It isn't. Is it reasonable to say that this person should be heard? Yep. Great. Have her tell it under oath.
I was telling you during the break that 65, you know, women, you know, vouched for him. I said, I don't think 65 women from my high school class would
right.
even remember who I was.
Well, that's, you know.
Who?
Yeah.
I don't even know who he is.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, you look at it and you and I were talking about it, and I said, well, you know, assume that is the case. They're vouching for him. But for, again, the sake of the discussion, if they weren't there at that party or they weren't there in that room, they were not witnesses to this alleged happening. So really it kind of means nothing other than, you know, to testify for his character.
Right.
You know, were they ever in an intimate situation with him?
Right.
Were they? Because now my question would be, well, was there anybody else at this party? I would think that there were at least a few more people
where,
at this
where
party.
Alcohol was being, and one of the reasons she never told him about it is because alcohol was being served and they
right.
were drink.
Right.
They were drinking.
Right.
You would have to assume
mm-hmm.
they were all drinking, and that's
right.
one of the reasons she didn't want to tell anybody
mm-hmm.
is because she had been drinking
mm-hmm.
or at a party where everybody had been drinking.
Right. Well,
and they were all underage.
And so were there others at this party? Did it get out? You know, we talked about the Roy Moore thing or a number of accusations about would-be or politicians or presidents. And you look at that situation and say, okay, are there people that know or knew or had even heard about this kind of behavior? Even one other person, Gary, saying this is the kind of student he was in high school. This is the type of individual he was in high school. So far, you have one person. And that's all you have. If it were like the situation with Weinstein or any of the others in the past.
Roy Moore, Clinton.
All of them, there was a pattern. There was a number of accusers and others who were aware of what people were saying. So these strong, strong rumors, at the very least, of people, even if they were not allegedly abused or there was no sexual misconduct that was directed in their direction, then I mean all of that shows or at least gives you reason for suspicion. But in the case of Kavanaugh, you have one accuser and no one coming back to say, well, he was very aggressive towards women. It was kind of known. There was a rumor about him. None of that. You have one person so far. One person.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Ruth in Illinois. Ruth, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. You were talking about the 65 women and the fact that it didn't mean anything, but I was just kind of wondering if it really does say to his character, because they knew him not only in high school, they knew him in through college.
Yeah, well, and we said that about character, but not about this incident.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't there. But, you know, another thing that you didn't mention was that other guy, the guy that was in the room, his last name was Judge. And I believe the first name was Mark, because they've been announcing that quite a bit today.
Mm. Well,
maybe you could see it online.
Yeah, we knew that it was known, but what it comes down to is whether or not, and thanks, Ruth, whether or not either of them are willing to testify. Her specifically, and more importantly, is she willing to testify under oath? Because that will mean, I think, something that will at least show again that she's not afraid to testify. It doesn't prove anything. In fact, at the end of this entire discussion, there likely will be no proof either way. It's only going to be the allegation. And did the alleged incident take place? If she's to testify in front of senators, well, one of the first is going to be, well, you, one of the first, or I guess some of the questions are going to be, especially from Republicans, why didn't you come forward before this? Also, you say there are a number of things you can't remember because, alcohol was involved. So there will be there's going to be a number of questions if she were to testify. Again, there's no reason to believe yet at this point that she's going to. But if she were to testify, then she would be asked some very tough questions about this, because it's a very serious allegation. And it has a very serious consequence tied directly to it. And that's what's different. This is not about an election. This is about somebody who would be one of those that would decide very huge, the biggest of cases. And those decisions, those votes, those, I guess, opinions rather, and decisions on the highest court have the longest and most lasting effect of any of the branches of government. So these are very serious accusations. And if you're going to make the accusations, then you should be willing to back it up. You should be willing, and she's talked to the Washington Post. And so now the question becomes, is she willing to testify under oath? Lindsey Graham says he's open to that situation being the case and hearing from her, but he does not want that to delay the process. That would be included in the timeline.
And the name that the New York Times posted was conservative writer Mark Judge, just so you know the last caller knows. And Judge told the Weekly Standard on Friday, it's absolutely nuts. I never saw Brett act that way. Mm-hmm. He has written himself, though, about his drunken exploits as a teenager.
Mm. For VDO Roadlog, here's your forecast.
As the remnants of what was Hurricane Florence continue to move in through the Appalachians, we'll see additional rainfall systems, which could top over 15 inches. Further inland, the rainfall will cause new areas of river flooding, flash flooding, and even the potential for landslides along the southern and western side of the Appalachians for the next couple days. We'll see Seattle 65 and sunny today, L.A. clear and 84. Dallas high temperature today around 90 under partly cloudy skies. For Chicago, we'll see continued fog and then sunny and 80. New York City, a 20% chance of showers, high today around 80. Atlanta, mostly cloudy, 88 with a 20% chance of storms. Miami, 89 with those typical afternoon thunderstorms for this time of year. Starting off your Monday, there's a look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Deservedly been called every name in the book. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. So no matter what, if you look at this, and that's the thing we're trying to lay out here last a half hour, you have you're in a situation here where you have a woman making an allegation. We don't know whether she would be willing to testify under oath or not. So what you have here, here are the scenarios. It either stays where it is and it goes nowhere. She either testifies, and if she would testify, if the Republicans, if Grassley wanted her to testify, then you would have that.
Mm-hmm.
If the other person in the room, Mark Judge, was asked to testify, then you would have that. If they both stick to their stories, it still goes nowhere.
Right.
What you might have in that particular case is the Democrats trying to do anything to delay it, or hopefully, if you had the testimony, enough hype and hoopla of the allegations and enough as we call it, showboating by the Democrats in order to attempt to convince maybe a Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski of Alaska to change their vote.
Yeah, Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake. We talked about Flake earlier yesterday, you know, or earlier, not yesterday, but earlier in the show. And so those are really the scenario. But the story of ever getting to the truth of the story, from what we know right now, based on what she has said, she told nobody.
Right.
Until 2012. Story isn't going anywhere.
No.
It's simply how can you use it politically in order to either delay it, which it seems like the Republicans aren't going to allow them to do, or to grandstand and showboat that she must be believed and Kavanaugh should not.
Right.
And the other supposed witness who wasn't a witness. That's an interesting point. You're a witness to this. We need you to testify. And judge says, I wasn't a witness to anything.
Mm-hmm. It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
There's nothing.
Right.
I was there. Where were you? I mean, if you attended, did you attend the party even? Do you recall attending the party? I mean, even details as she put them in the Washington Post statement, her interview with the Washington Post, there are a number of things she couldn't remember. So,
the place.
Right.
She doesn't remember where the party was.
Right. So what would you ask Kavanaugh or the other accused? Judge, what would you ask them? Were you at a party?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to a party as a teenager? I mean, because if she can't remember, then what are you going to ask them? They're the ones being accused. So I don't know what the line of questioning would be.
Right. How do I defend myself about an incident that
didn't take place?
She can't, you know, that I was never at.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can't defend myself from, you know, I guess I can defend myself from the fact that I
never
wasn't
happened.
There.
I wasn't
never
there.
Happened.
Yeah.
But there's not much more to say to have me testify. Well, it never happened.
Right. And that basically was his statement last week. Never happened. I didn't do this then, and I've never done this. Essentially, that was his statement. Nowhere else to go there. The grandstanding would continue from Cory Booker and Feinstein and all of them, but the answer's not going to change. Never happened. It never happened. End of story. Because unless the accused comes, or unless the accuser comes forward with something, again, a note to her.
Apologizing
for it. By the way, if that were the case, that would have been revealed in the Washington Post article. We'd know that by now.
Right. We didn't say email because email didn't exist back then.
Right. We'd know this. That would be a known already.
Right.
So it's likely that never happened. So what else is there? If she had some kind of tangible evidence, something, we'd know that. So it doesn't exist. It's he said versus she said, or in this case, she said versus he said, never happened. That's going to be your answer from Kavanaugh. That's going to be your answer if judge were to testify. Didn't happen. Didn't take place. That's exactly what Kavanaugh said in his statement last week. It never happened. No, I've never done anything like this. I didn't do it then. I've never done anything like that since. Never did anything like that in my life. End of story. That's your only answer. There's no other, you can do the grandstanding all day if you're Cory Booker or Feinstein. You can't change the answer. Because there's nothing else there.
Let's head to Mike in Washington Township, Michigan. Mike, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. The thing with this took place such a long time ago. And the fact that the Democratic Party is out to destroy this country, and naturally they don't want anything coming into the Supreme Court that would hamper their plans of destroying this country. So therefore, I'd throw it out. And the American people who are behind President Trump should do their utmost to condemn the Democratic Party, convince as many people as possible Democratic Party is enemy to this country. And that
I think that's being done. That's being done every day, where one side is going up against the other side. That's being done. We're talking about this specific allegation.
Our side isn't organized, though.
The what?
Yeah, our side's not organized like the Democrats are.
Well, no, this our sides yeah. are no, our no 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 no. The Trump side is organized. I mean, the Republican Party is organized. They just don't do it. They just don't message. They don't. And by the way, one of the biggest. One of the biggest people not organizing his thoughts together that actually hurts his own campaign and hurts the people that vote for him is Trump himself.
Well, I don't agree with all that completely. I mean,
then you agree with it partly. Then you agree with it partly.
Yeah, very small, very, very tiny part.
Well, no, his biggest thing is there are many things to promote. Look, you organize the thought process by the person at the top of your party organizing what the thought process should be. When you have somebody like the president who's so scatterbrained in his Twitter feed that he is contradicting himself. Go ahead.
To a degree, that's true, but I mean, the thing with it is that.
But you can't.
Are Democrats in disguise?
Mike, but you can't say problem. You can't say our side, which Trump is the leader of our side, and that they don't communicate right when he at the top is not communicating correctly.
Well,
you can't call Trump the victim and the leader at the same time.
Yes, you can. And that's not mine. That's yours.
The what?
That's yours because you guys really are not. You guys really are stupid libertarians, and you guys are night and day difference between me and you. And the thing of it is that I have a one pet peeve that this radio station keeps playing. And that's that kindness commercial.
We're not a radio station. We're a national talk show. We don't know what other radio stations that may carry us. We don't know what they put on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we don't know that. And you're stupid too. If that makes you feel happy, we can go back and forth and call each other stupid. You're stupid. I'm stupid. we are conservative libertarian. And we call them as we see them. And you can't sit there. We have accused the Republican Party of not messaging correctly. They weren't. I will give you this. They weren't messaging correctly before Donald Trump was president. They haven't been messaging correctly for the longest time. But we're dealing with the present. And if you are talking about getting the correct message across, the leader of the party has to be the leader in ensuring that you're getting the correct message across, which means you need to have a consistent, clear message, concise message all the time. The president, as we have said, with all of his successes, has failed miserably. How that relates to our conservative libertarian philosophy, I don't know. It sounded like you didn't have an argument back, so the stupid label came out of your mouth.
Well, and you said to a degree, so you agreed with us, at least in part.
Yeah. Look, we would be stupid if we would say that Trump hasn't been effective in communicating certain messages very well, which he did
or
in his campaign.
If we were to try and deny the things that he's accomplished, and that's more to the point. The point is that all of those accomplishments should be promoted because the media is not going to promote them. Every one of those should be promoted non-stop.
Well, but our biggest beef with Donald Trump is not to defeat Donald Trump.
No.
Our biggest beef when we talk about Trump not communicating is we believe he's hurting his message, a significant portion of his message that we agree with.
And promote what you have done. Economically, things are happening right now. That's a result of his work.
When we get angry at Trump, it's not because we want Trump out of office.
No.
It's because we want Trump to succeed. Apparently you missed that, Mike.
Well, and he is succeeding, except for in the messaging.
Yes.
Promote the successes. They can't let them fact check those. Go for it. Number one oil producer in the world.
Well, no, exactly as we said, earlier this hour, that's mm-hmm. something that he has been tremendously responsible for getting us to the point right now.
Right.
Post Obama.
Low corporate taxes that no other Republican could get done.
But that's one of the things that the always Trumpers, not the never Trumpers, but the always Trumpers have to realize.
Mm-hmm.
That when people like us criticize Trump, it's not because we don't want him in office. It's because we want him to stay in office.
I'd like that win in 2020.
Right. We want the Republicans to stay in office, for all their faults.
Yeah.
I want the Republicans and Trump to stay in office. If I'm critical of Trump, it's not because I want him out. It's because I want him in.
Well, because the other Republicans, the ones on Capitol Hill, have made a number of promises and haven't delivered on them. That pretty much applies to all of them. Every promise, political promise that he made in his intent, he's worked toward. While he still hasn't gotten the wall done, that discussion is not over.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. And he's Eric. Yeah. Did I say you're Eric?
I don't know.
Okay, you're Eric, too. I just want to clarify here, because when we were into the discussion with the last gentleman, we was talking about the bad messaging from the Republican Party, and we said, well, wait a minute. President's ahead of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
When I said you can't be a victim and a leader, you can be a victim of the enemy attacking you, but mm-hmm. when you're in charge, when you're the president, when you're the leader of your party, then you are the one that should be controlling the messaging that comes from the White House and the political party. That was my point. You can't be victim and the leader of your party at the same time.
Right.
When it comes to messaging. So,
yeah. And there are a number of things here that, again, as we now are pretty much in the full swing of the election cycle for the midterms. This is going to have to be repeated again and again and again. Every single positive accomplishment by the president, and most of them have been greatly positive. You look at what's going on right now with the economy. It's strong, very strong. There really is, I think, very little political backlash right now over any tariff war with China. Just because I think people have that in their mind that China is a bad actor when it comes to trade.
But the majority have not taken effect yet either.
No, they have not. And so he has that working for him. Again, he's got to, and the Republicans have to, get in line with a positive message.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.